It's a privilege to be here. I don't say that lightly. There are those around us that we hear, you know, when I was growing up talking about the troubles and the hardships that it is to travel and to get to church. When I was a child, my grandfather and my father were raised in the mountains of Georgia. My father was 13, almost 14, when he saw the first paved road and electric light. My father was brought up in those days, and my grandfather rode a mule across several mountains to attend to serve a little church that was over near where the Ticonetley Church is now, there in Ellijay, Georgia. It was a long distance, and he would get there, and there was no way to tell him that everybody was sick and nobody would even be there when he got there. And that happened a couple of times. He would travel that great distance, all the modern conveniences that we have nowadays. And yet, as Brother Freddie was telling us this morning, all it takes is a tie rod in to mess up and you've just spoiled your whole weekend. We can hop in a car and travel, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles to go and see and to listen to the Word of the Lord. We have all of these conveniences, but yet we need to remember that the simplicity that is the Lord's service, that we are, as we've been told ably this morning, that you are the children of God. And there's some responsibilities that come with that. We're not told to come on down to the meeting house where it's just all going to be fun and games. I did grow up where I was told several times by aunts, and I had several of my aunts and uncles that would tell me things like, the church house isn't any place to have fun. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that I had a lot of fun today. There's some fun to be had at the house of the Lord, and it's worth knowing that. I've seen my mother stand at the edge of a pulpit and would not dare step foot on it because apparently at some point in her mind, when the building was being built, some of this area was sanctified and you weren't allowed to set foot in here unless you were a minister of God. I've often threatened our church to pack the whole entire membership up here and me stand out there, maybe on the back row, and preach at them one Sunday. To take away some of the fears and the things that we've brought into the building. You know, this church is not magically surrounded by a barrier that prevents Satan from being in here with us today. And we bring him in here from Georgia, from Nebraska, Texas, or anywhere else. We're the ones who bring him right in here with us. We see and we hear, and as we've heard today, and people will get upset with you. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago asking, who is your Samaritans? We all have them, don't we? If we're going to be honest enough to tell. The people that walked by on the other side of the ditch or the other while the fellow was there in the ditch, you know, we all have those people that will go out of the way to go away from. And I asked them at Bible study one night who theirs was and went around the room and they were given all of the right answers. Halfway through, you know, my answer changed. I found out that mine was the ones that I was attending church with, if I was going to be honest with myself. The people that I had avoided, the people that I'd held grudges against, were the people that I loved the most. Being a child of God doesn't come without consequence. I asked several questions while we were in the cafeteria over the last couple of last night and today. When you're asked, what church do you go to? Do we leave off the word primitive? I mean, it saves us a lot of trouble. I mean, I joined the church when I was five. I heard that there's a lot more that's joined here than that age too. I'm glad to hear it. I'm telling you that when you start school and you tell somebody that you're a primitive Baptist in Chatsworth, Georgia, the first comment is somebody's going to come back the next day and say, Mom and Daddy want to know if you handle snakes. Now, I mean, so to avoid that, you make adjustments. To avoid arguments in your place of work, do we not make adjustments? Rather than start a fuss, we just kind of say, well, you know, I'm a Baptist, and that'll just blend you right in. Brothers and sisters, the problem is that we have been blending in, and we no longer stand out. We no longer are peculiar, and I'm not talking about weird and this type. There's something about us that makes people say, what is it about them that's drawing me to them? We've had a good dose of that here recently there at Crossroads Church. I've encouraged the people there to go out and invite people. The problem is that nobody that we're inviting is showing up. But that hasn't stopped the Lord from sending people to come, and they stay. What makes that happen? Had a whole family pull in the yard one Sunday, walked in, and they've never left. Now they've joined, and they're telling everybody, you know, of what brought them there, and you try to get them to tell you, you know, what it is that that drew them to you, and they can't fully tell. Well, you know what? John the Baptist, John couldn't do that. Why in the world would I expect somebody else to? John's using phrases like the streets were as something. We got people that actually believe we're going to go to heaven and see streets of gold, pearly gate. He was saying as. He couldn't describe what he saw. I can't describe what I felt this morning with the services. I would love to tell you. I went to a beautiful place. But the Lord gave us things in Isaiah, and I want to get onto this pretty quick or I'll ramble some, but the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and I'm going to go to a few places, but this, I'm just going to touch on this one. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line. I've been doing a lot of building lately. We're getting a house ready to go there in Marietta that we're moving closer to the church there. And that house was a mess. And I can tell you right now that the cornerstone of that house was not laying as a sure foundation. That house is crooked at every wall we've tried to. We've about given up on that and we're just going to live with it the way it is. This stone does not need adjustments. This stone was sure. This stone was solid. And this is what the children of God are to stand on today. This is your foundation. When the things that happen, and I'm not here to talk to you about the world. I'm not going to sit up here and wring my hands. Trust me, Christ isn't wringing His hands about the state of the world. Neither should you. Understand that the world was bad from the moment that Garden of Eden shut down and closed its occupancy, and it hasn't gotten better, and this meeting won't change that at all. It will be bad the last breath that humanity takes on this planet. It's never going to be good, and you can't change that. So what are you supposed to do? Well, as one of your responsibilities as the child of God is to tell about this stone that you've just found right here. There are people you pass every day that want the peace and joy that you have, and we won't tell them. Why? Well, we're too good for them. I'm not trying to be facetious. Sometimes we look at people and say, we might not want that person at our church, if we're honest. If John the Baptist showed up dressed as he's described in the Bible, would we let him in the door? Knowing what we know has shown up at churches in our area out east here lately. I'm just saying. Would we make a new door and leave? When we look and we judge the people that come forward in the church, we look at the clothes that they're wearing. We look at the shoes that are upon their feet. Are we exercising the responsibilities of a child of God? One of the phrases that's used a lot around home is do you show yourself friendly? When somebody new comes in your door, your church, do you say, what are you doing here? How did you find... We could have done that. I mean, as I said, we've had people show up that nobody knows anything about. That should scare most old Baptists, right? When I was growing up, if somebody showed up that wasn't invited or hand-led in, this is an outsider. We don't know anything about them. They could take over the church. We've heard it. We've heard it. The thing is that we're told over... How many of you heard this? Wish the Lord would tell me what to do. Open a book. Pick one. Any one of the books that you have in front of you, open it and start reading. Somewhere in there, something for you to do. I like to fall back on the easy one. What He told the Mad Gadarean. My wife will tell you. She probably expected this to come anyway. They get a good dose of it around home. Go and tell what great things the Lord's done for you. That'll keep you busy till they throw dirt on you. Literally. What's the Lord done for you that's good today? If we thought about it and we got our nose stuck, let me show you how Satan will work this for you. As a child of God, as I said, you're toting Him around. He knows where you are. He'll follow you around. He's on your hip. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's real honest with you, by the way. He'll lie, but He's real honest with your condition. He understands that you're a sinner. He's got that right, and He knows how to work us, and He's got that right. Miss a Sunday, maybe two. See how easy it is to miss three, to miss four. Think about some of the responsibilities that we have as church members. Did you make a call to somebody that didn't show up to church Sunday? Not this call. Why weren't you at church? That's the wrong call. The call is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way I can help you? We love you. We miss you. We need you. You know, the woman at the well, Christ showed us how to talk to somebody that hates your guts. How many of us, look at it. That Samaritan hated that Jew, and Jews hated that Samaritan. He walked up to that woman and said, here's the King of all saying, you've got something I need. Amen. Right there set the whole thing off on a different course. What's this Jew talk? What do you mean I got something you want? You're going to drink after me? He then shows how through love you could talk to someone who despises you, but think of how many times, brothers, it's easy to pick a fight with the next church down the street. It's easier to pick one inside of this building. Now it is. The brother was talking about, you know, whether or not there'd be open graves. That might sound funny. I've seen churches split over who sat in somebody's seat. It's not funny, is it? The mind of Christ isn't involved with that. Is that using what a child of God should do? Is this taking advantage of the salvation that, you know, the Bible talks about neglecting the great salvation? We spend a lot of our time worrying about things that we have no control over and neglecting the things that we've been told to do. As I said before, the world is in an uproar. Everybody's just so worried about it. Look around us here. Not even in, you ain't got to go to Georgia, ain't got to go anywhere. Look around here. Look at the children sitting around here. How many times have you heard this growing up? There's our future. Wrong. If that's your future, the church is going to be empty when they get old enough and they go off again. Why? You didn't give them anything to do. You wait till we're dead and gone, and then we're going to turn the keys over to this to you finally. Those kids need to have something to do. They need to be doing it right now. They need to be having their feet to the floor. They need to be having jobs in the church. They need to understand that this is their church, not Daddy's church. It's everybody's church. Now, where did I get an idea like that from? It struck me one Sunday, one weekend. I wasn't sure if it's Sunday, so I'm going to back up and cover this. It was a weekend when Brother Carl was out visiting there among us, and he said, I think one of his sons called and said, ask him about going to his church. You notice what he asked? Somebody that was a member of the church, but it was his dad's church. Ownership was missing. These children, this is all of our church. Today, I'm in my church with you. This is our church. This is where we meet together to worship the Lord. What will happen is if we don't do these things, if we don't show them, the Bible talks of how we're supposed to stand and how we're supposed to teach and how we're supposed to do these things and not teach the traditions of men. I don't care what Grandpa said. I don't care what my own father said. If it's not out of the Bible, we need to leave it out of this building. And this isn't the only time when we should display the responsibilities of a child of God. You're not supposed to leave here on Sunday going like, I made through 6 days, all I got to do, and I just got to get 6 more days, figure out how to get church one more time, and I'll have next week covered. Sunday isn't your only day of responsibility. By the way, how many of you heard this? I don't go to church much because I don't really get much out of it. I really didn't get much out of that sermon today. Well, here's the number one thing. It wasn't for you. Sunday isn't about you. Sunday is when you come and pay your vows to what you owe to God. And He's merciful enough to bless you for doing what you're supposed to do. The next 6 days is where He blesses you mightily. Maybe you should have showed up on Sunday and paid what you owed. Another responsibility of a child of God. We have a lot of sayings that we will fall back on. What would Jesus do? That one bugs me to no end. And a lot of things like that. And we'll shrink things down. We'll make little bumper stickers and these things like this all over the place. I'm telling you right now, a bumper sticker doesn't mean that you're acting like a child of God. The state motto that you live in doesn't make you a child of God. Whether or not you like one flag or another flag or no flag. I tell you truthfully, I have seen so many things in the last few weeks that have made me want to take and throw many electronic devices through the wall. Because for some reason we feel that it's okay to get on to one of these social media sites and talk stuff that no way would it, you could find it in the Bible. I've seen brothers and sisters talk about how that they would like to see one person or one side or one group burn somewhere. Like we have the right to declare that information. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. Mine are drawn up in my shoes pretty far right now. I'm guilty. As Brother Freddie said, there's some time frame before you get a hold. You know what the Bible says? It said, when I come to myself, when I realize the stupidity that has taken hold of me, what Satan does to a child of God is that we are supposed to be, number one, focused on a warfare that with Jesus Christ, we are well equipped to fight. Because He's fighting the battle. We're along for the ride. That battle takes place here. It's not my job to come to Brother Thomas and help him take care of his battle or tell him how he's not doing it correctly. What Satan does is it'll throw a little shiny up from you somewhere, and now you've taken your focus off of this battle, and now you're over here looking out the windows or looking at the war, and the war is raging wide open inside of you, and before you know it, you're on here posting stuff that nobody should have ever been reading with your name attached to it. Then you hear this one. Don't judge me. Brothers and sisters, that's a warning to the person who said it. You're just stating that you're okay with committing iniquity. That's not a responsibility of a child of God. You're saying, I know I'm fixing to do wrong. Don't judge me for it. I've weighed what God can or cannot or may not do to me, and I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with that. You shouldn't be either. It's not okay to go like, oh look, I'm just going to hit them one time and then I'm going to take what's going to come, just one good smack at whoever I'm mad at. Nobody saw it. The brother told us who sees it. God sees those things. Bugs Bunny, all over the time. If I do it, I get a whipping. I do it. The Israelites did this on numerous occasions and they got a whipping. Remember when he was telling them, going like, choose you this day. We often quote that. Remember what the rest of it was? They said, we're going to follow the Lord. Remember, that's what the answer was. We often quote what's stated, but we leave off. We do that a lot in our churches. We'll quote half a scripture. You know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's some more to that scripture. There's some conditions that are placed in here. They're kind of important. Without them, you miss the rest of the time you say, go like, well, I'm praying. I'm not getting anything. Go back and read the rest of those. Oftentimes we'll quote scriptures in the world that aren't in the Bible. Where do we hear that from? Maybe from our pulpits. I heard a few weeks ago where someone said, I'm going to paint a picture. It's not a picture that come out of the Bible. The problem is that I was eating it hook, line, and sinker until my wife and, you know, involved me in correcting me on the distances between a couple of points of land in the Scripture, and I realized that the painting was very skewed. The picture was these men that threw Jonah off the boat walked back into Nineveh and told them how they had taken care of him and how what a great shock it was when Jonah walked back into Nineveh. Problem with that is that there's a great distance from Joppa to Nineveh, and the shippers, the fishermen, didn't just stroll into town. Oops. It sounded good. Made a great picture. But it was a lie. And it didn't fly. We find in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I guess what we term a lot as the hall of faith, of where we have all these great names and great men that have gone before us, and women, lest I forget them and get in trouble on the ride home. But we read going through here of the faith that was displayed, the responsibility that was displayed of children of God who gave and suffered and were harmed and did all of the right things but were still sinners. One of the things that, as I said before, you know, what Satan does is he'll throw something out there and he'll get your attention on something. The next thing you know, you forgot about the Lord. Next thing you know, you're realizing that, you know, I can just go ahead and go to work this Sunday. It'll be okay. And then the boss will call you and tell you, well, you worked last Sunday. Maybe you can work another Sunday, and then that's okay. And then pretty soon you're not showing up at church at all because that's just okay. And we let that happen. How many of you heard these things? If they don't want to be here, we don't want them here. Bible doesn't teach that. Bible says, got 98, 99, I'll be right back. By the way, guess what? The 99 weren't left alone. If they were, when he got back, there wouldn't have been 99 there. There would have been a few less. You leave sheep alone. Anybody that's ever raised sheep or been around them, you leave sheep alone, they're going to go nuts. They will. By the way, you know how we like being called sheep? Don't we just love it being called sheep? Sheep are some of the stinkinest animals you've ever seen in your life. They stink to high heaven. They don't listen. They don't mind. They don't stay in one place. They stick their nose into stuff they should have never got near. Well, maybe sheep's not what we want to be called all the time. But we go through this and we look at the faith in this. I'm going to start in the 23rd verse in the 11th chapter. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and he was not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, they were afraid enough to hide a child. By faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith. We find that when Moses led the children of Israel out, and we heard some about this morning, where they were there at the Red Sea and here comes Pharaoh's army. You ever notice what God did with the sheep? He pinned the sheep up. Red Sea, mountain, Pharaoh. You can't run. So what happens when people can't run? They're fixing to kill Moses. You know, I mean, they're not happy with what's going on. This is what sheep do. God has pinned His people up numerous times so that they'll stop. You know, it's nice to say stand still when you can't move. They had nowhere to go. When I was a child, there was a man that had sheep close by here, and if the dogs got near him out there going nuts or whatever, they just fall over passing out right and left. I have a feeling that the children of Israel were getting real close to the passing out stage, the closer and closer that Pharaoh got. So, we have people that are hand-led out of Egypt. They're the richest group of people in the neighborhood now. They've left and they've looted and pillaged Egypt on the way out. People were giving them anything they wanted just to get on out of town. Look at what they start giving up. You can go back earlier in this. You know, when the creation talks about that men were given dominion over the world, that didn't last long, did it? You don't hear much about us having dominion over a whole lot of things after we hand-delivered that to Satan. We gave him some power over us. We go down and we find out here where they're being led by God and fed by God. We get out here to Mount Sinai. What do they say? Listen, you go talk to God. That shaking mountain and stuff is scaring us to death. We don't want to hear God's personal voice. We'll hear it from a man. Handed that right over. That wasn't the last of it. It's not long before you hear him say, as we heard last night about Samuel, we don't want to be led by God. We want to be led by a man. Handed that right over. Didn't work out well for him. Over and over and over again. As children of God, we have responsibilities that we have slowly but surely handed over to other people. Have you heard this? Well, the deacons will take care of it. That's the pastor's job. I'm not sure who's going to help Sister so-and-so, but I'm sure somebody's got that. We hear about how that we're supposed to go and tell, but I'm sure somebody's doing it. Have you heard the one about where nobody knew who cut the grass at the church until this one brother died, and then everybody knew who had been cutting the grass? Who's been doing that? Do we have those that will stand in this day and will do the things of God? Will we stand up and will we do the things that are hard, that aren't comfortable? Now, I started off by telling you a little bit about Moses there, but I want to go to the 30th verse, and I just want us to take a look at a little bit of faith. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not when they believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Did you notice who got the last, before he starts into the long spiel? Do you notice who got the last one? It wasn't a Jew. It wasn't one of the really nice people that we really want to come to church. Have you ever thought about that? preached a sermon one time about five women in the lineage of Christ that I bet most churches growing up wouldn't have let in the door. Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, Ruth, Mary. Responsibilities that we have to use love, compassion, mercy, the mind of Christ, to do as Christ has taught us to do. Not to look and say, I know what Christ says, but I understand that Christ tells me I'm not supposed to hate this person, but I'm not going to say I hate them, but I really, really, really don't like them. There, that gets me off the hate. Gets me away from the murder charge from the 5th chapter of Matthew. How many of you ministers have had people that have come to you and said, really would like for you to preach a sermon sometime on abortion, homosexuality? What was your answers? Mine was, okay, we're going to do one on lust. No, 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 I mean homosexuality. Well, lust, that'll cover it. You're not going to like how this goes because it's going to cover a broad spectrum. But the Ten Commandments doesn't need a subsection. And as far as that abortion do, you know, we'll hit murder up just as soon as I get around to it. None of us are going to be happy with that, how that goes either. The Bible isn't meant for us to go through and pick. As a responsibility of a child of God is to do justice to the Word of God and to walk according to the Word of God and not go through and to go after somebody, but to tell people about somebody. To the love and the joy. As I said, you pass people every day that want what you have. They need it. They're just like the woman at the well. They've got something we need. They've got life. They've got a searching spirit. They don't know what they're looking for, and you do. There's connections that can be made. Joy that can be... I baptized a 13-year-old boy this past Sunday, and a husband of one of the ladies there at the church baptized him too. The 13-year-old boy was sobbing from the time that he came there, didn't stop through lunch, didn't stop all the way through the baptizing. And the reason is that he couldn't understand what was wrong with him. He didn't know what was going on inside of him. I'm telling you, I got goosebumps on me right now just thinking about that. I got a cut on the back of my hand that I wish wouldn't leave. As he was coming into the baptismal, he slipped and fell. I was able to get my hand underneath his head as he hit the pool and it hit the back of my hand. It feels good to have that on there and to know what that boy is going through and that that life is being raised up in the church among us. He is on fire and he doesn't know why. That nobody in his family expected anything like this. His mother and father joined a few months ago. If you'd asked anybody, nobody would have said that boy even knew how to open a Bible. And now something's gone on inside of him, and he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know how to explain it. And his father called me and said, I'm going to stop working on Wednesday nights because I have to come to Bible study to learn how to talk to my son so that I can help him and myself understand what is going on in us. I don't care what's going on out in the world. I want to know what's going on in me. I want to know why I want to drive from Georgia to here. I want to know why I enjoy the hugs. I want to know why I feel like getting as loud as I am, and that's usually not as loud as I get, I'm sorry. But I'm telling you that I'm not worried about the concerns of the world. I'm happy to be in the kingdom of God. There is joy to be had. There is work to be done. I heard a joke one time, and it's not funny for us, that when the big split happened with the Baptists, the primitive Baptists got the ones who wouldn't give a penny to anybody and wouldn't lift a finger to work. And that pretty much hit the nail on the head. If you preach against tithing, you're going to get in trouble. If you preach about mowing grass, you better be good with mowing the grass yourself. There's things for us to do. The Lord has given, we have been made for good works, to do things. You are not going to be perfect. And because of that fact, Satan will strip you to pieces. Well, you mess that up. Just give up. Listen, if they really loved you when you weren't here last week, they would have called you. They would have. If they really loved you. If they knew what you did when you were in high school, they wouldn't let you in the door. This is what he does, and he's good at it. There's a reason that people come and they join churches and then disappear. The reason is because we didn't do our job. We can't lay that off at Satan. You watch any of the shows where the shows, the things in the wild out here, and you let a predator come around them, and they will gather and they will protect that baby as fast as they can. A baby in our church can go from the youngest to the oldest member. We've got several. I've had a sister that joined there that was a lifelong Baptist, and she just could not. The people in our church, tell me if you had this experience, because I need help. She would stand up in church and she would talk about when she got saved. Eyes would roll all over the church. People would call Ken and say, "Ken, you need to talk to her." And I'm like, she's joined. She's learning. Let the Lord work here. Well, you know, back when I was listening to Pastor Stanley and Pastor Billy Graham, and I could see the eyes rolling at me from the congregation. The sighs. One night in Bible study, she said with tears streaming down her face, "I've spent my life trying to do something I couldn't do." That's not the greatest thing. I don't care how anybody else, the rest of us, felt there. You know what also would happen inside of her? She stopped worrying about where her family was going. I told her at that moment, "None of us here can take credit for what just happened with you." Just like Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to that woman, but the God above did that. I got to see that happen. I got to witness it. I didn't come out here to tell you about the gloom and doom in the world. I'm telling you, God is still on His throne, and He works among His people. And I've seen people join. Number one, the people out there in Woodstock, they don't know how to join a church. I promise you right now. Nobody that's joined in the past year, and there's been 14 of them, none of them know how to join a church, traditionally speaking. They won't stop in the handshake. No, that would be just wrong. I'm being sarcastic, and I've told them all this. They'll call you over to come look at muscadines in their yard. And then while you're looking at muscadines, ask you to join the church. They'll wait till everybody's gone. A 7 and 8 year boy will catch you coming out of a bathroom at lunchtime and ask you to preach to them out of the Bible. And when I said, "I don't know about preaching to them like that on demand," them two boys looked at me and said, "Can't you preach without a crowd?" I did the best I could. Then they wanted to sing a song they picked out, "Lord, Revive Us Again." After we were done with the song, they asked if they could join. I said, "Let me go get your mother." Things aren't doing the way that traditionally we have them laid out. Thank God for that. At home, any of y'all visit, I'll go ahead and give you minister's warning. They've been told it's okay. I've told them, if you don't understand what I said, raise your hand. I'll stop where I am and I will try to explain what it is that I just said so that the youngest member to the oldest member can go home and understand what was coming out of the pulpit that day. And the reason is because it's about them and God and not me. And I don't care about the flow. I don't care about whether or not it messes up my text or it interrupts where I'm at. I interrupt myself enough. So I'm off visiting somewhere. And I've got Harmony with me. I failed to tell her that was a home thing, and she put her hand up and had a question. Brothers and sisters, I thank God that our people are wanting to read the Scriptures, that they're willing to be responsible children of God. And I read this just a few months ago. "And what shall I more say, for time would fail me, to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson?" We took time to talk about Rahab and we missed Samson. It gets better. "Of Jephthah, David, Samuel." We're going to talk about Rahab and brush over these men. "And of the prophets who through faith listened to responsible, God-fearing people that you are." This is still you. And what I'm saying here as I close, I want to challenge you to walk in these footsteps and understand that these people died outside of a breath of fresh air of a dead, buried, and risen Savior. Solomon would have given you, Brother Mark, everything he owned to swap places with you today. He looked for this day with everything that was in him, looking forward to this day. They would have given all to been here. We have to understand they were people that were dying in these places in Rome, that we had apostles that were dying, the people that were following them dying, and they didn't even have the complete book put together in front of them. And what we hold now in front of us, and the responsibility is great unto us, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mocking, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, and sometimes neither am I. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in the dens, in the caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not what we set on and won't tell anybody about. God, having provided something better for us that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing in the 12th chapter, we are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy our Savior looked at that cross with joy for you. We hear all about grace and free and free and free. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you are not without a debt. And you need, I'm not talking about eternally. I'm telling you, you need to be up and about the Master's business. We need to be up and doing the things of the Lord. We need to be active. We need to be working. We need to be telling everybody from sunup until sundown what great things the Lord has done for us. Why? Short answer. He said so. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.